Breakfast Business
with Enterprise Ireland
on News Talk.
Talk.com. But first, let's have a look at the main international business stories in the newspapers and websites, which we shall do in the redoubtable company of Russ Mould from AJ Bell. Good morning, Russ.
Good morning to you, Joe. Had a good weekend, I hope.
Lovely weekend. Another good 4-day week this week for us, at least. Are you working on this coming Good Friday?
I'm currently scheduled to do a live radio broadcast with a British public service broadcaster at 5 a.m. on Good Friday, so we'll see what happens.
It wouldn't be the BBC by any chance, is it?
The one and only.
I've heard of it, yes. Yeah. Russ, can we start with something that will be close to every young person's mind right now, and that is Easter, because they may be paying a lot more for their chocolate because of cocoa.
Yeah, cocoa is up. The cocoa price is up 80%. So far this year,
gosh,
to just under $10,000 a ton. There are several reasons for that. The main one is bad weather and disease in two of the major supplying countries, Ghana and the Cote d'Ivoire in the west of Africa. The bad news is that as the cocoa price started to go up, speculators and hedge funds have piled in, and that's not helped. That's made the price go up higher. And the latest development is as a result of the soaring price, Ghanaian and Ivorian plants are allegedly reportedly stopping processing beans because they can't afford to buy them. So that's creating a further squeeze in terms of cocoa supply. So we'll see what happens. The good news is for this Easter, the eggs are already in the shop. But the bad news is that you would think that towards the end of this year, that might start to have a knock-on effect upon some of people's favourite bars.
Ah, so when it comes to selection boxes for Christmas, they might be pricier.
Yeah.
And the shrinkflation as well.
Well, there are various ways they can get around it. If you listen to what Mondelez, who owned Cadbury, Nestle and Hershey said, they did all raise their prices quite a lot in 2023. They said they expected to be less price inflation this year. I think one of the reasons they said that was as they jacked the prices up, their volume started to slip. But faced by such a big input cost increase, they've now got a tricky dilemma. Do they pass on the price increase to the customer? Do they cut the size of the bar? Or do they swallow the price increase themselves? And I suspect you'll probably end up with a combination of all three.
You definitely will end up with a combination of three. But I hope those cocoa prices retreat. It's back to normal levels at some point. Now, your favourite car maker, Aston Martin, is it a DB9 you drive or a DB7? Which one do you...
I've got a Lego DB5, James Bond Goldfinger, what if that counts?
And I've got a Matchbox.
There you go.
So Aston Martin has a new boss.
It does. This is Adrian Hallmark, and they've poached him from Bentley. And he's taking over from Amedeo Felisa, who's been in charge for 2 years. And he was brought in as a bit of a calming influence after Tobias Moers didn't last very long. And he was brought in after Andy Palmer didn't last very long after the company had been floated.
Mm.
Because as James Bond films will remember, the first thing 007 did with his new Aston Martin DB5 in Goldfinger was drive it into a brick wall in Goldfinger's factory. And that's what's happened to the share price here, is it's been a disaster. Now, Hallmark's been brought in by Lawrence Stroll, the major shareholder, and he's done obviously a tremendous job at Bentley. So he's got experience of luxury cars. I mean, Aston makes about 7,000 cars a year, and he's really now been brought in to do some long term planning for the transition towards electric vehicles and to get Aston to its 2028 delivery targets. It is expected to make its first profit as a public company in 2025, a mere 7 years after its float. But the company's had a pretty bad habit of missing its short-term targets. So Hallmark's got two jobs: meet the short-term targets and keep the stock market happy, and longer-term, manage these new model launches it's got, particularly for EVs.
Mm. And do they still hand-make those cars?
Yes. Wow.
See, that's going to be a problem in itself.
That's why they only make 7,000 cars a year for a startup. And they do have plans to improve that, but also the average selling prices and some of their new supercars are really pretty beefy. So, if you go to the website, some beautiful looking cars to see, and they do show you these wonderful craftsmen there preparing these vehicles for their own plutocratic customers.
Yeah, and the hand-stitched leather and all that stuff. And that's why they're $250,000 starting price. Anyway, let's move on to China and its attitude towards Western companies when it comes to technology and chips in particular.
Yeah, this is a story in the Financial Times that they broke over the weekend, where we've got this ongoing dispute between America and China over a range of issues, but access to technology, national security, local supply, all issues that are bubbling up between Washington and Beijing. And this is the next stage. The Chinese government is saying it will be phasing out Intel and Advanced Micro Devices chips from its government-sponsored, government-bought computers and servers. That's national government and local government, and it's also going to start to try and sideline Microsoft Windows software and use locally developed product instead. Now, it's hoping to do this over a 3 to 5 year period. It sounds a little bit tricky, isn't it, to root out Microsoft to me, but they are looking to boost their own self-sufficient technology, reduce the dependence upon Washington, which is exactly what Washington's looking to do when it comes to China. So this isn't such a big deal for Microsoft. China's a fairly small part of their business, but it's alleged, reportedly a quarter of Intel sales and a sixth of AMD's silicon chip sales. So they've possibly got some thinking to do.
Yes, indeed. And I was reading on Friday last week that Intel is going to get something like $20 billion from the US government so that they make their chips in America as part of the Inflation Reduction Act.
Correct. I think in some ways that I understand where America's doing it, but in some ways for Intel to plead poverty when it's blown something like $80 to $100 billion on share buybacks in the last decade, I think, frankly, looks a bit odd to say the least.
It sounds a bit cheeky. All right. Let's move to, stay with China, and Tesla is cutting its prices.
It is. Well, it's cutting its production and it's nibbling away at its prices. I mean, BYD is overtaking Tesla by some distance now as the biggest electric car manufacturer and seller in China. The Chinese EV market is growing, but perhaps not quite as quickly as everybody thought. We know that Chinese consumers are being pretty careful right now. So Tesla has been cutting production and it's been trimming its prices by offering things like discounts on car insurance, free. You know, if you have a paint job, it'll maybe throw that in for free, and preferential financial plans. So at the moment, you know, it's a tough market, and Tesla is easily the number one in America, but China is finding it an awful lot tougher, and that's why one of the reasons why Tesla's share price is down by a third this year. And if you look at the S&P 500 index, America's leading stock index, Tesla is the 499th best performer.
Ooh, and the secondhand value of Teslas has fallen by a stone in the United States last year as well.
It has, yeah. Elon Musk always used to brag that the price of your Tesla would go up in value as you ran it, but that doesn't seem to be proving the case. And one thing, talking to my friends here in Brighton and England who've got them, you try insuring them. It's a pretty expensive business because Musk and his colleagues are so flat out producing these things that getting spare parts if there's an accident is extremely difficult. So it's very expensive and the insurers are fighting shy.
Gosh, good to know. US government, we've done nearly every continent so far. So we've done Europe, we've done Africa, we've done Asia. We're now going to America. US, the shutdown has been averted once again, but it's only a problem postponed.
It is. The next government shutdown comes in September when, in theory, if the government then, quote, runs out of money, then federal agents, like federal employees don't get paid and certain government agencies then shut down, and they'll basically gradually shut down everything except those that pay out the welfare benefits. This has been fended off for the umpteenth time, this time to September, with a $1.2 trillion spending package, which has been signed off by the House of Representatives and the Senate. Some senior Republicans are already screaming blue murder, including some chap called Trump, who thinks that this is a bad idea. Mm-hmm. And I guess there's an element of politics involved in this. The next government debt ceiling, that runs until January 2025. That's been suspended until January 2025, when presumably they'll raise that. But there are still big issues in America because they're still debating foreign aid for Ukraine, Israel and Taiwan, aid for Gaza. So that bill's going to go up. And this may be one of the reasons why, you know, people ask me, is there a bubble in share prices in things like technology stocks? And I kind of look and go, well, there might be. But one thing that there probably is a bubble in is debt, particularly in America, the way the government's spending right now.
And on that positive note, let's bring it to a close. Russ, thank you so much as ever. Have a wonderful week. That's Russ Mull, Director of Research with AJ Bell.
Breakfast Business
with Enterprise Ireland
on News Talk.